Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Starting today, thousands of Southern California nurses walk off the job and onto a picket line to protest proposed benefit cuts and lack of staffing. Tomorrow, 23,000 nurses at more than 30 hospitals around Northern and Central California walk out for a day. Union officials say this week's actions constitute the nation's largest ever nurses' strike. There are two unions involved, the California Nurses Association and the National Union of Healthcare Workers, the hospital chains Sutter and Kaiser Permanente. Many hospitals say they'll have replacement nurses to cover during the one-day strikes. After months of contentious wrangling, 62,000 grocery workers vote later this week on a new three-year contract. The tentative deal would cover supermarket chains from Santa Maria, south of San Luis Obispo, all the way to the Mexican border. The workers haven't voted yet, but both sides are leery of launching into another strike in less than a decade. Eric Anderson of KPBS in San Diego has more.
The tentative agreement is a huge relief for 40-year-old Angela Baker. The single mom has worked for 6 years at a Vons store in Camarillo. She was glad the union protected her medical benefits because she wants her 4-year-old son to get the same kind of benefits she got.
I grew up having the same doctor from the time I was an infant to the time I was an adult until he retired. And, you know, I want that for my child.
The stores say the deal allows them to stay competitive. George Whalen is a retail consultant who tracks the grocery industry. He says this is a tough environment for the region's big supermarket chains. They're facing increasing competition from Walmart, Target, and non-union stores.
The strength of the major supermarket chains has always been in being close to the neighborhoods and close to where the consumers shop. There may come a time where they can't afford to operate as many stores as they do.
Whalen says competition has squeezed the grocery marketplace so much that the stable, high-paying jobs the industry used to be known for are going away. For the California Report, I'm Eric Anderson in San Diego.
A new study finds half the state's Latinos are at risk for breathing polluted air. The survey from the Natural Resources Defense Council, the National Latino Coalition on Climate Change, the Center for American Progress, and the National Wildlife Federation says the nation's fastest-growing population is also the most vulnerable. The California Report's Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca has more on the report's California details.
The study finds Latinos are disproportionately concentrated in the state's most ozone-polluted cities, including L.A., Bakersfield, Fresno, and Sacramento. The problem is likely to get worse now that the Obama administration has delayed considering stricter ozone standards, says study co-author Adriana Quintero. She heads the Latino Outreach Project of the Natural Resources Defense Council in San Francisco.
It's not fair for so many millions of parents to have to think twice about whether or not their children can play outside simply because we don't want to put the onus on polluters to do the right thing. These are lives we're talking about here.
The report confirms Latinos are less likely to have health insurance, so problems like asthma may go untreated for longer than in other populations. And when a kid's hampered by a breathing problem or using an inhaler, that can interfere with their performance at school. The study's authors say there's an opportunity for the increasingly powerful Latino voting bloc to flex its political muscle on air quality. Their report cites recent polling data showing California Latinos strongly support more stringent pollution standards for new cars and trucks. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
Middle and high school students have to get vaccinated against whooping cough this year. But as the California Report's education reporter Anna Tantakalos tells us, financially strapped school districts are struggling to enforce the new rule.
Crowds of teenagers eat their lunch in the hallways of Washington High School in San Francisco. All these students got their whooping cough shot in time to meet the school district's vaccination deadline last week. But 19 other students were initially blocked from coming to class. Linda Boyer, too, is the school nurse.
They were called down to the office. They were told that there was a clinic that's available today, or you can get it from your primary care provider, but you need to bring back with you a pertussis form.
It's a scene playing out in districts across California as districts try to force families to comply with the new state law. The measure requires middle and high school students to get the pertussis vaccination or whooping cough shot within the first 30 days of the school year. No shot means no school for a student. In San Francisco Unified, roughly 14% of students are still not vaccinated or haven't shown proof they've received the shot. Boyer Chu believes there are three factors at play.
There is some breakdown in communication between the student and their family. A second is that these families are not, they don't have a connection with healthcare. And the third is that the student and the family are not invested in education for, again, one reason or another. So really the TDAP is just a small issue for these families.
But those factors don't make a difference under the state law. San Francisco and other districts that are blocking unvaccinated students are losing thousands, even millions of dollars, because schools get state funding based on student attendance. The financial pressure, combined with the loss of valuable learning time, is causing some school districts to defy the state law and allow unvaccinated students on campus. For example, the Natomas Unified School District near Sacramento is allowing unvaccinated students on campus, but putting them in the school gym for classes.
We do understand that districts are really hard-pressed right now, but the goal is really to keep kids healthy, alive, and learning.
Linda Davis-Aldrit is the nurse consultant with the State Department of Education. She says the vaccination law is meant to prevent another whooping cough outbreak. Pertussis was a major cause of infant death worldwide about 60 years ago. Childhood vaccinations helped to keep the disease at bay, but public health officials say it's coming back, in part because fewer people are getting booster shots. Dr. John Tallarico is with the state's Department of Public Health. He says 50 to 80% of students in a classroom will contract the disease if they aren't protected. That's why he says there is so much at stake.
So it's not your run-of-the-mill respiratory virus that causes a cold for, 7 to 10 days. It is quite severe, and anybody who's had it will tell you that you're quite miserable when you have it.
But enforcing the vaccination requirement is becoming a problem itself, with a lack of school nurses and support staff on campuses due to budget cuts. State education officials say they're still reviewing potential penalties for schools that are admitting unvaccinated students. The State Department of Public Health plans to conduct audits, but not until December. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tentakulis.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, September 21st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the SunPower Corporation, offering high-efficiency solar energy solutions to households and businesses in California and worldwide. The world standard for solar. SunPowerSolar.com. The Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallas Family Fund for coverage of climate change. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as preventing network intrusions and data theft by hackers. Barracuda.com.